Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve. Cause I'm chilling in the background, knowing that I'm gonna give it everything.
Welcome into the second week of the Podcastianos in quarantine. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined as always by a man who has the cleanest spice rack in all the land. It's Eric Wayne.
You know, you're reaching the bottom of the barrel for activities in your household when you start cleaning your cupboards and going into places where you normally never travel in your home. I was like, you know, how long have these spices been in here? I got nothing better. I might as well look them over.
We did the same thing with some rice in some of the cupboards as we were going through them, and there was some rice in our cupboards that had expired in 2015, so we hadn't just barely missed the cutoff.
Oh, those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those numbers up. I had like some, you know, 08, 09 stuff.
Dang.
Oh yeah,
I was in college then. You were making the big time spice meals.
Stuff's not fresh.
Yeah. So you've been very productive. When's the last time you've left the house doing anything meaningful?
I did leave the house today, but before that, it has been like 4 or 5 days, and you know, you start to develop a crust on your body, you know, just like a gelatinous shell around you. No need to shower. No need to bathe. It's fine. In fact, the odor helps keep a good social distance.
I actually shaved my face like all the way down for the first time in years, because I'm like, no one's gonna see me. Why not? And then of course here we are tonight, but.
You look glamorous. You look spectacular.
Well, thank you. I feel like I look like I'm 12 when I don't have at least a little bit of stubble. But yeah, the only place that we've been in the last, I don't know, several weeks, it feels like, is what I refer to as the bad place, the Traverse City Mire. So that's not a positive experience.
Easy now. These people are American heroes, making sure there's groceries on the shelf. Now,
The people working there, yes. The institution itself, you know.
Got it.
You know how I feel.
So what is the podcast about today, Hall? What are we doing?
I think today we'll have on a special guest. Do you have any ideas as to who we could get?
Oh, let's look into the future and see if we could get one Ben Verlander. Ben Verlander is famous for looking like Ryder from Paw Patrol and also being a Detroit Tigers minor league baseball player. That's pretty much all we know about him, right?
Yep. Just that and the Paw Patrol thing for sure.
No, seriously, Ben Verlander is going to be joining us. He's little brother of Justin Verlander. He was drafted by the Tigers. And he's going to share some stories about what it was like. And I promise you, it's going to be a fun conversation. It's almost like I know.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Eric Wayne's Brain. And the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, I'm at Jordinho4. And we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on.
Hey, friends. Do you love podcasts like the one you just listened to? Have you ever dreamed about having your own? Well, my name is Michael, and I work for Truthwork Media. We believe that everyone has a story, and every story deserves a podcast. Let us help you get started. Look us up at www.truthworkmedia.com, fill out our questionnaire, and I'll schedule a time to talk. It's really that easy. Truthwork Media. Everyone has a story. Yours needs a podcast.
Joining us on the show tonight is a very special guest. We've talked about getting him on the show for years. It's finally happening. It's Ben Verlander. Ben, thanks for taking some time out of your, I'm assuming, very busy social calendar to
yes,
fit us in.
Very, very busy right now, actually. But seriously, thanks for having me on, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
So how have you been handling the shutdown? I feel like there's almost nowhere else that any podcast can start other than our own houses.
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of it's been a little tough. What I'm doing for work is technically considered essential, even though we're an events company. So as you can imagine, there aren't a lot of events going on. But so yeah, it's been interesting. I'm in my house a lot, and as the rest of the world is, and you know, it's been tough, but whatever. I think it's for a good cause.
Speaking of, how is post life or post ball life treating you? What are you up to these days?
Yeah, so when I first finished playing, I actually went out to, I was living out in LA with my now ex-girlfriend, and was living out there and still working out and hitting with a guy. It's actually JD Martinez's hitting coach. His name's Craig Wallenbrock. He's got a bunch of guys now, but he's kind of the guy that's credited to kind of like turning JD's swing around and turning him into the player that he's
become. Do you have a note sheet or a notebook now too, where you write down
every JD's taking it a little above and beyond, and he'll be in the dugout after he hits, breaking down absolutely everything. But so yeah, I was out there for a little while and then moved back. And
back being to, like, Virginia?
Yeah, back into Virginia, like the Richmond area. So then I had a good family friend of mine that owns an events company around here that basically staffs events, and said he'd love to have me on board. And if I wanted to go back to play, I could go. And so I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. So it's been cool. It's been fun.
Tell me about your recent bike riding experience. I happened to see a post. What happened?
Yeah, you see that? Yeah, it's it's been tough, man. So literally, this happened yesterday. I'm at work, and I needed to take a bike and move it into a shed. Literally, like a hundred yard bike ride. I'm not kidding you. And I go around the corner of this building, and I hit the pedal to go a little faster, just because I wasn't hardly moving. And as soon as the chain popped out of the bike, and when the chain popped out, the back of the bike kicked up and sent me flying over the handlebars, and I put my hand out to brace, and just the palm of my hand scraped on the pavement. And as soon as I hit the pavement, my left shoulder popped out of place because my labrum's torn. And it's ever since college, I actually did it in the outfield. I dove for a ball and landed on it and popped out. So it's popped out quite a few times since, but not a ton since I finished playing baseball. And I'm just sitting on the ground. I knew my shoulder is out. There's blood everywhere. I was embarrassed because I was riding a bike 100 yards.
One of these looking around to see who saw you?
Yeah, I immediately looked around and saw this lady like on the other side of the parking lot, this like sweet old lady. She's probably around 70. Yeah. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, as I'm covered in blood. It was miserable, man. And now today I woke up and I can't move my left arm. So that old saying, it's just like riding a bike. Don't believe
Not
believe it.
So you mentioned a little bit, your shoulder, and you talked about a little bit about your playing days. So I have to ask you a little bit about your minor league experience. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it just seems kind of glamorous, you know, people are cheering for you, and, you know, kids want your autograph.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just seems like it is a grind with like the long hours and travel. And some of these guys, I mean, low pay. Mm-hmm. So what was your experience like? What was your life like as a minor league?
Yeah, so it's fun. You know, you say it like it. You said it seems glamorous. And when I was growing up, I remember, I actually remember a story from when I was in first grade. We had to do an assignment in school, and the teacher went around and said, "Everybody, what do you want to be when you grow up?" And on my piece of paper, I wrote a professional baseball player. And the teacher came back to me and said, "No, pick something realistic." was like, whoa, all right. So that was my dream. And then, you know, and I the day I got drafted, you know, I'll remember it forever. And then you get there and it's a grind, man. And it is the best way I can describe it is it's a business. Sure. If they invest a lot of money in you, you're going to have a better chance. If they invest no money in you, you're going to have to do 100 times better than that another person to even have a chance. And, you know, there's certain spots where, you know, the day when I got drafted, I first went to Connecticut to play for the Connecticut Tigers.
Yeah.
And, that was cool. You know, you get there and, everybody wants your autograph and you're playing in front of a good amount of fans and it's my first professional experience. And that was fun. And then I get to go to West Michigan where I'm playing in front of thousands of fans a night. And I'm sure the last name helped. People loved me there. And I just, that was an awesome professional experience. And then I go to Lakeland and man, oh man, is that a reality check? You know, it's supposed to be a level. It is. It's a level up. You're playing in front of, instead of 10,000 fans a night, you're playing in front of 10 fans a night.
Yeah.
It's 100 degrees. You're out on the field at 3 o'clock every day, taken in and out. And it's just like, it's kind of a reality check, you know, and it just that's where it hits you. Like you can get stuck here. It's a grind. My first year in Lakeland, I made the All-Star team. I was hitting like 320 at the break and leading the Florida State League and made the All-Star team. And everyone's like, oh man, you're going to, you know, you're probably getting out of here soon on, you know, everybody at the All-Star game is saying that. And it just never happened and never happened for me. And you can just get stuck there. And it just becomes this, it's a grind, man. It really, it's not as glamorous as it seems, but I don't want to take away, like playing professional baseball is the best experience of my life, but it really is a business.
Living in West Michigan and going to a lot of Whitecaps games and knowing some of the Whitecaps guys, it's kind of a point of pride for the folks in Grand Rapids too. And I talked to Verhagen and Hardy at an event one time and they echoed the same thing. It was a little bit more fun for them playing in the Midwest League than it was to play in the Florida State League because of the crowds and, you know, the ballpark sizes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Everywhere you go, you're playing in a beautiful stadium. And West Michigan's the same. And actually, you probably remember this, the year I was there was the year of the fire. So when I showed up, the fans were like, you know, they like rallied around the team that we had there. And we were really, really good. And to be able to play in front of those fans and then go on the road to like Dayton or Fort Wayne, some of those stadiums are the nicest stadiums I've ever played in. So yeah, I mean, when you're playing there, it's like I'm playing professional baseball. I'm a professional athlete now. So, yeah, West Michigan is awesome.
So, obviously, you played against hundreds of players over the course of your minor league days. I always find it interesting, like, you know, we'll go to Whitecaps gamers or whatever, and you're like, that guy is going to make it. And then inevitably, some of them don't. Who are some of the best players that you played against? And at the time, you're like, that dude's going to be an all-star. And then they never kind of turned out to be kind of in that same bracket.
So it's fun. The first thing I think of when you say that, I actually have some guys on the opposite end that when I was playing them were supposed to be big time guys. And I'm like,
chump.
And at the time, I'm not saying I wasn't like, you know, in the Florida State League, I was hitting 200 at the time or 220. And I'm not saying I was better, but I'm just saying like, this guy's a first rounder and he's supposed to like, he's hitting, striking out every bat. I remember the first person I thought that about was Pete Alonso. I was like, this guy, no, he's got no chance. and then my last year, kid comes over from the Cubs to the Yankees named Gleyber Torres. Everyone's like, this guy's the real deal. We played him. I remember for some reason, we were playing on the backfield at Tampa for some reason. I forget why. It was like the last day of the series. And this guy's in the lineup, supposed to be the real deal. And he went like 0-for-4 with 3 Ks and just like couldn't get around on any fastball. And I was like, nope, not making it. This guy's not the real deal. So I am not the guy. If you're like, this guy's going to be good, don't come to me. I have no idea.
Now, at West Michigan, I asked this question for Eric. You crossed paths with Lute Butkonen, obviously became a big Tigers favorite.
Yeah.
What's Lupu like in the clubhouse?
So, as you would imagine, he's a quiet, like, just sits to himself, but the nicest guy. It was a blast having him in the clubhouse and pitching for us. And we heard he was coming into town, and everything I'd heard about him is like, this guy's super nice. And until you meet him, like, it's the real deal, man. He's a really, really good guy.
That question was for me. I have a weird fascination with Luke. Love Luke Picard This isn't about me.
Is he out of baseball? What's he doing now?
I don't know. He's out of baseball.
Yeah. If you don't know, I don't think anyone knows.
Well, that's fair.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but in 2017, you got to witness the Anthony Gose pitching experience firsthand. Tell us a little bit about that.
You say experience. That is correct. So, he's on the big league team, and we hear he's getting sent down one day to instructionally or extended spring training at the time. And they're like, yeah, he's gonna pitch. I'm like, what? Like, I know he's got a good arm, but what? So I remember the first day he was pitching in extended spring training, or the GCL it might have been at the time. And we go down there, a couple of us Lakeland guys go down there to watch him pitch. And I'm standing behind the behind home plate. And I look at the radar gun, and the first pitch he throws is like 97. Like, the first pitch he throws off a mound in a game. I'm like, what is going on? And then he threw a couple curveballs that, you know, some of them were good. Some of them flew over the backstop. But you could see, like, this guy's got good stuff. So then he comes into our clubhouse to pitch for us. And I remember specifically, I was in the outfield. We were at home the first game he comes in to pitch. And the first pitch he throws in a high A ball is 100 miles an hour. Good and I'm gosh. Like, oh, my God, this is going to be quite the experiment. He had no clue where it was going at first. He was all over the place, but he was throwing 100. I was like, all right.
Incredible.
And it sounds like he ended up kind of gassing everybody up in spring training this year.
I actually watched him pitch one time in spring training this year, and it looked good. I was like, all right, good for him. But yeah, what a guy to have in the clubhouse at the time. Like, he's a big leaguer, yeah. But he's like starting all over, but he comes in our clubhouse acting like he's rehabbing, and he's this, you know, 10-year established vet for a while, and wants us to play these card games with him, and he's dropping like $100 a hand. We're like, yeah. Anthony, we are making, I don't know if you remember what you make in the minor leagues, but we can't afford $100 a hand, man. Like, slow down.
Right.
But yeah, what an experience that was. He's a good guy. I'm happy he's throwing. I'm happy he threw well in spring this year.
So that's an interesting segue to something you just mentioned. Hey, I don't know if you're remembering what we're making. So there's been lately a little bit more energy around minor league ball players, and hey, you know, shouldn't they be compensated a little better? Now, I know some of the guys are get healthy signing bonuses, but a lot of guys don't, and the wages for the time and energy and travel that they're putting in is pretty meager.
Yeah.
Have you been following this a little bit, and do you have thoughts on should minor leaguers get some salary increase here?
I've been a little vocal and asked on Twitter about some things in that nature. I truly think, you know, when you look at it, my schedule, I would wake up, I would go to the field at noon. We would play at 7, end at 10, get dinner after. I'm not home until midnight.
Right.
So I'm at the field for 12 hours, 7 days a week. And you think about it, I've worked my whole life to get to this position, and the percentages of baseball players that get drafted and play professional baseball is very, very slim. So in terms of what I do, I'm one of the tops in my profession, in my field at what I do. And to look back and think that I'm making under minimum wage for the hours that I'm actually there is wrong in my opinion. But the problem is there's no union. There's nobody to fight for us. So it's tough. And you mentioned it. There's players that sign for a lot of money out of the draft. One of my best friends in the world who, you know, before I came on was playing Call of Duty with Mike Gerber, who's had a, he's now, he's a fringe major league guy. So he was drafted in the 15th round as a senior. He signed for a few hundred bucks and a jersey on his back. And he was in, he's now married. So if he hadn't done, if he hadn't made it and was still trying to grind it out in the minor leagues, he his career would have been over by now. You can't support a family on the money that we were making. So yeah, I really do think, I really think that something needs to change. I don't know how it's going to right now, but I really do think it needs to.
So obviously you've had some opportunities to be around a lot of baseball people. Who's someone that you've met and instantly been like impressed with?
I got a couple of them actually. So being with the Tigers organization was interesting in a lot of aspects. In some ways, they're light years behind other organizations in terms of analytics and the way base and the direction that baseball is moving. But in others, they're so rich in the history and the guys that are walking around. And I actually became really close with Alan Trammell. He worked with me a lot hitting, and I just love talking baseball to him. And I was actually very fortunate to become close with Mr. Kaline and to kind of build a relationship with him. And a funny story that comes to mind when, I knew him. Obviously, my brother's 9 years older than me. So I was around the Tigers. I basically grew up around the Tigers, So I remember the first World Series in 06. Me and my family are in a suite. And him and his wife come into our suite. And he was talking to my parents and came up to me and goes, you probably have no idea who I am. And I was like, I know who you are, sir. I would talk to him every once in a while and knew who he was and he knew who I was. And then my pre-draft workout, right after my junior year of college, I go up to Comerica and, we do this whole thing on the field. We run our 60, we take BP, we throw from the outfield. So I remember there's like 20 position players there. And I get into hit and I'm like super, super nervous, but I start hitting pretty well. Hit a couple balls out, my rounds are finished. And I'm like, all right, I feel really good about that. And I'm walking out of the cage and Mr. Kaline calls me over and he goes, Ben, come here. I'm like, oh man, he's about to say something cool. And he goes, little nervous. I was like, what? He's like, yeah. I was like, yeah, super nervous. Could you tell? He's like, yeah, a little jumpy. I was like, yeah, I felt it. I was like, dang it. I thought I did great.
Right.
But tough to get a stamp of approval from that guy.
So, we are obviously all about the Tigers. We've been insane Tigers fans for a lot of years, and we are always kind of craving interesting little tidbits about the Tigers. So I'm wondering if in your contact with the organization, is there a safe-ish story that you can tell us about, one of the guys, or tell us about some of the time that you've had hanging around with folks from the Tigers organization?
Well, a lot of them aren't safe.
That's why I prefaced it. I'm not asking for
ones,
that.
The ones that stick in my mind aren't too safe, but the one that I do remember, that's pretty funny is, we were playing 1 year. I was in Lakeland at the time. We had a guy on the team that was really struggling at the plate and, was taking it pretty tough emotionally. And, he was beating himself up, didn't know what to do. And one day decides to, we finished one game. One night he goes like 0-4 and he's like, I got to figure this out. I'm changing something tomorrow. So we get back to the field tomorrow. He's back in the lineup. And so we go out for BP, and then we all go back in the locker room to change and eat. And right before the game, he's changing his uniform, or into his uniform. We look over and he's wearing like girl's underwear, like legitimately wearing a thong. And we're like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? It's like, gotta change it up. I have to. So he went out and went 2 for 3 with a walk. And for the better parts of 2 weeks, continued to wear these, really? these aqua blue, like girls thong. And I didn't know that was an actual thing. Like I've heard of that in like movies of superstitions, and nope, he actually did it.
See, I could see where that's some of psychological benefit. Like you're paranoid about something else. Like you're not thinking, your brain is not
100%, man. And once you get to that level, once you're playing professional baseball, it becomes mental. And I don't know how closely you guys followed my stats throughout a season, but there were multiple times where I would start a season a month or two and be hitting well over 300 and close to, I'd made multiple All-Star games. And then the second half I'd hit a week where I couldn't buy a hit, and mentally I'd just go into this rut. And it was really hard for me to be able to get out of that, because it's all I could focus on. I'd go home, I'd take it home with me, I'd bring it back to the field with me, I'd take it on the field with me, and it's all I could start thinking about. So it really does become super, super like mental. And when there'd be times where we'd get to the end of the year, and you know, I'd start off hitting 300 for a month, and then by the end of the year I'm hitting 220. And then the last week of the year, when I see that my average is in the gutter and nowhere near where I want it to be, and I'm like, screw it, I'm just going to go out and play, I'd kill it again.
Yep.
And I'd end up hitting around 250. And my second to last year with the Flying Tigers, I was Florida State League Player of the Week in the last week of the year. And I literally went like 25 for like 29 that week, just because I was like, screw it, like this season's over. Yep. And it's so mental. It really is.
You know, it's funny, like sometimes real cerebral kind of thinking athletes don't always do so well. And, you know, the prototype of like the Rob Gronkowski types who are like, aren't really thinking past the end of their nose. Those are sometimes the guys who do great, who just, you know, shrug it off or whatever. It's amazing how the mental part of it goes.
It's tough because I care so much about the game. I grew up around it. I loved it. It gave me, you know, it's all I did my entire life. I truly love the game of baseball. And that's why I would beat myself up over the game, and I would mentally grind over everything I was doing. And then you see guys that just don't seem to care.
Sure.
Come in and just play so well, and honestly could give, you know, they don't care if they go 0 for 4 or 0 for 8 or 0 for 12. And it's like you said, there's something to it. There really, really is something to just being able to brush it off. And I'm not saying those guys didn't care, because I looking back, I wish I could have done that. But mentally, you just grind over stuff, and you can't play baseball like that, because you play every single day. Every single day. And if you're going to bring it back to the field with you, you're screwed.
So switching gears entirely here. I saw that you had 2 appearances on the mound in your illustrious career. Can you break down the arsenal for us and tell us what that was like for you?
Yeah. So I'm not sure if you checked the stats, but my K per 9 is at a 9. Both appearances struck somebody out.
I actually searched to see if who had a better K per 9, you or your brother. He got you just by, I think, like by 0.1.
Does he?
Yeah. Dang. But that would have been absolutely fantastic.
So the arsenal consisted of a lot. I remember the second time I went out on the mound, it was in the Florida Fire Frogs, high A for the Braves. We're losing 17-0, and it's like the ninth inning or the eighth inning or something, and I'm playing right field. And our the manager at the time is like, can anybody pitch? And I was like, yeah, me. I pitched in college. Pick me. So he's like, all right. So I was up second that next – in the top of the eighth, I was up second. So we got the last out. I sprint over to the mound that's right next to me in right field, throw like 10 pitches. I swear I was throwing 120 miles an hour.
Obviously.
I run down in the dugout, put my hat on, strike out per usual, get my glove, and get ready to go out on the mound. And our manager looks at me, and he goes, "Hey, Ver." I'm like, "What's up?" He goes, 70%. I was like, "Yeah, sure." So I run out on the mound, and I actually hit 90.
Pretty good.
And I remember I felt great out there. I was throwing 90 and getting ahead of guys. And I remember I got 0-2 on a guy named Ronald Acuna. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to bounce a curveball here. I throw a curveball and released out of my hands is like, that's the best curveball I've ever thrown. And it just breaks so much. It's like an inch off the ground. And this dude hits a laser into the oppo gap for a double. And I was like, huh, pro ball, a little different.
Yeah.
Turns out that guy's pretty good. But so the first time I was pitching, it was at a home game, and you know, we were in Lakeland. Dave Huppert was our manager that year, and we were terrible. I finished pitching, and a week later, he calls a clubhouse meeting and comes storming in, and he's like, "Guys, all you guys, we're playing terrible. Nobody cares," and throws our stats up on. He goes, "Hitters, come up and look at this. Pitchers, come up and look at this. These are terrible all across the board, all of you." And we go up and look and then go sit back down. He's like, "Anybody got anything to say?" I was like, "Yeah." I was kind of over the season at this point and kind of pissed off because he wasn't playing me when I was playing pretty well. I was like, "Yeah, I was looking under the pitcher stats and my ERA is actually 0 and I didn't see it up there. I was wondering why you left my stats off." He goes, "Yeah," he cussed me. I was like, "Verlander, shut them up." And I was like, all right.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, you.
I was going to say, so you said that you essentially grew up around the ballpark. Obviously the majority of those being based around the Tigers. Do you have a favorite Tigers memory from your brother's career?
100%. In 2006, the walk-off, the Maglio Ordonez walk-off,
yeah.
To go to the World Series. Even talking about it to this day, I get chills. I'll remember that until the day I die. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to experience 2 ALCS walk-offs to go to the World Series. Got one last year against the Yanks, and then the one in 06 from Maglio to go to the World Series. And honestly, I'll never forget that, man. I don't know how old I was at the time. In 06, I was 13. I was 13, 14 years old. And
pretty good.
You know, basically, as you know, I remember we were sitting in the family section and he hit it. And as soon as it crossed the fence, everyone's like trying to push down to the field in the family. Cause we were basically out on the field when Maglio touched home. And I remember I was standing at the gate ready to go on. And I looked out and saw Polanco doing that like jump with his mask on, throwing yes. his hands in the air. And I will never, ever forget that, man.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of Tigers fans, like that in the last few decades is the moment.
Especially
the Dan Dickerson
off.
Call. Yeah. I mean, everything about it was pretty good.
And coming off the how terrible we'd been for so long before that. Like it was the first time, like, you know what? Being a Tigers fan doesn't suck. Like,
yeah.
We actually have some moments.
Yeah, you know, it's so the team wasn't very good. And then luckily my brother got drafted in his rookie year, actually, was 06. So he didn't really go through much of the downfall that a lot of Detroit had to go through. And I think a big reason for that turnaround was Pudge, to be honest. That, you know, he took a leap of faith to come to that team. And it turned everything yeah. around. Yeah. And that team was really good. And then, you know, those teams a little later when we had Justin and Max and David Price, you know, my brother said multiple times that his biggest regret so far in his baseball career is not winning a championship in Detroit with that team that they had. They were stacked, man. You look back, they should have won. But that team was stacked, and they gave Detroit quite the run for quite a few years.
Yeah. It was fun. I remember the celebration after some of those games. You know, they'd come back out of the locker room and they're pouring. You know.
Yeah.
you know, sparkling whatever, or, you know, champagne or whatever.
I'm sure, yeah.
It was just a party. It was a lot of fun.
Sure, it was sparkling. I'm sure Joel Zamaya came back out with sparkling champagne to pour on everybody.
Yeah. So, really, tell us about your podcast project. I caught the part of it, your latest episode, where you're talking about, you know, opening day for the Whitecaps and how, you know, after the fire you came back. But it's a fun project, a fun podcast that you're working on. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it is. It's kind of interesting how it started. I actually went on a show in New York last year, produced by MLB Network. It's actually on DAZN. It's called Change Up, and I went on and was a host on that show. So I actually had her name is Michelle Margot, my co-host. She reached out to me on Instagram one day, and we just kind of followed each other because she filled in for the Astros on-field job every once in a while. So we followed each other, and she actually reached out and said, "Hey, would you have any interest doing a podcast?" And I was like, "Sure." So we kind of put our heads together, and we got signed by Believe, this podcast network. And so we've had 14 episodes now. It's called Millennial Sports Talk, and you said it's a project. It is, and it's just fun. You know, it's that's why I do it. I think that's why she does it. It's just a lot of fun to be able to go on and have some guests on and just talk about sports. And that's what I love doing. And it's just nice to be able to do it. It's cool.
Very cool.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to us. Your stories are awesome. We've very much enjoyed, getting the chance to talk to you. You're welcome back anytime. And, best of luck with the pod in the future.
Of course, guys. Thanks. I'll have to have you guys on at some point on my podcast.
I don't know that you want to stoop quite that low yet. Have an established audience before you do that.
You know, it's like, you know, the run at the supermarket when there's a quarantine coming. Like, yeah. We're the cauliflower crust pizza that's left over that nobody's really wanting to take, you know.
Somebody does. It's
No, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Ben.
Of course.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast Giannis.
So, Eric, let's jump into your power rankings.
All right. You mentioned at the top of the show that I, today, earlier, because I had nothing better to do, cleaned my cupboard and threw away my expired spices. So I have for you the top seven and the bottom three spices.
Wow, I had no idea how topical my intro was.
I have limited imagination these days. I've been stuck in the house.
I think we all do.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
All right. So now I want to clarify. These are not herbs. Okay. We're not going to herb land. These are spices.
I think that's a strong distinction. Those are two different worlds.
Now, I don't know exactly what constitutes a spice. But I know an herb when I see one, and these are not herbs. All right.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's jump into this.
Number seven is the sesame seed. Huh. Sesame seeds are usually fairly unexciting. They go on top of your bun, you know, it's an important element in a Big Mac. Yes. Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a
sesame seed bun. If it makes the song, it's vital. Yeah. Everyone knows
absolutely
that.
Correct. Now, where sesame seeds really shine is when you get tahini. And tahini is just like mashed up sesame seeds. I guess you get more sesame essence. Tahini is a key ingredient in hummus, which is awesome. And goddess dressing, which is also one of my favorite things. So sesame seeds make the list at seven.
Agreed.
Okay. Number six is pepper, you know, good old fashioned black pepper. It's everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. It's ubiquitous, the black pepper. So that's strong. It's popular. I like it, on French fries, you know, the cracked pepper fries, and also on like eggs.
Okay.
But right. I don't douse my stuff in pepper, but I like to use the pepper.
Yeah. I'm a pretty big pepper guy. I like pepper.
If you're desperate, I mean, it's everywhere. You can mm-hmm. always get your hands on some pepper. All right. Number five is garlic in all its forms. So you can have like, you know, dried garlic or garlic powder or garlic salt, you know. And whenever a recipe calls for garlic, I'm usually doubling or tripling the amount of garlic in it. I do like garlic.
Also good for social distancing.
Obviously. Garlic bread is a terrific food. Can you agree to that?
Absolutely.
Things with garlic are amazing. Garlic's definitely good. That's number five. Number six.
You're going the wrong direction there.
I'm going the wrong way.
Been in the house too long.
Number four is nutmeg. Nutmeg is delicious. It's a key ingredient in pumpkin spice. Now, pumpkin spice gets a lot of pub, especially in the fall, you know, like the pumpkin spice latte and everything's pumpkin spice. But, you know, why don't we just name it like nutmeg flavored? That'd be okay.
How do you feel about eggnog?
I like eggnog.
Okay. I mean, so I would assume if you like one, you have to like the other.
For sure, because it's sprinkled on top. But nutmeg has a bad publicist. This is like when you know the name of a band, but the guy who's really like the artist in it and in the driving the band, you don't know his name. That's how I feel about nutmeg and the greater fame of pumpkin spice.
Your metaphors are exquisite tonight.
Obviously.
Although I think that was a simile. I think you said like.
I'm glad you're on this. Number three is ginger. And you can get like dried ginger or fresh ginger or whatever. But ginger comes from a ugly looking root, but it's a fantastic food. It can be a bit pungent, so you have to mellow it sometimes. But you can have ginger ale, obviously, for the Werner's lovers. Ginger beer, which is a key ingredient in a Moscow mule, very important. There's a cidery, Farmhouse Ciders, up the road from me, and they have a ginger infused hard apple cider. It's wonderful. So I love the ginger.
We're accepting cidery as a word. That's not going too far.
This is like half my podcast. I can like create the words that I want to, or half of them. Fine. Do you like the redheads? Are you attracted to redheads?
As in people?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so ginger. You know, it's a certain energy.
Yeah, I don't trust them, but yeah, I'm nothing against them.
Gingers are great. It's a certain vibrancy, I feel like.
Yeah, it's good. They're shifty. No,
number two is cinnamon. Cinnamon is a classic flavor. You put it on your oatmeal. Got cinnamon rolls. The toast crunch of cinnamon. You don't get toast crunch without cinnamon, friends.
That's true.
Don't talk to me about French toast crunch, which is trash. You need the cinnamon toast crunch. All right. And the cinnamon bread at Costco. Oh, my God.
Interesting. I've never tried that.
Yeah, you get fat looking at it. I mean, it's pretty calorie intense, but it's delicious. So cinnamon is a great flavor. Number one, what is the world's best spice?
It's got to be salt, right?
Oh, of course, it's salt. Everybody knows it's salt. Salt is so versatile. It does a lot of things. It enhances the flavor of almost everything. You know, salt and fat. You can't go wrong. You can do anything salt and fat. It's good. Chips, fries. It is the boss of spices.
I agree. This is one of your more accurate power rankings, I will say. I don't really have any strong issues with anything you said, whereas normally almost everything you say I find to be incorrect.
All the stuff I say is 100% accurate. Your judgments are bad otherwise. Okay, going to the lousy spices. Third from the worst is celery seed. It's kind of trash. It smells like celery. Nobody wants that. Yeah. Celery is basically a non-food.
Yeah, for
sure. The only reason I kept celery seed along is because you put it in some coleslaw. Oh, it's kind of like a thing for that.
Yeah, I don't know that I know the taste of celery seed. I don't know that if I tasted it, I would know, bam, that's celery
seed. It's very celery. Number Moving along. Number two is mustard seed. I have to tell you, I hate yellow mustard. I hate it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. People like slather that on their hot dog or whatever. And I'm just like, no, I cannot do it. I want my hot dog with ketchup.
Ugh.
And that, and maybe some onion and relish, but I can't do yellow mustard. Like if it's a spicy mustard or whatever, like the mustard at Founders or whatever, I can kind of get into that. But the French's yellow mustard is trash. I think I was traumatized as a child or whatever. But we never had mustard.
I think that explained a lot, actually.
Yeah, it could explain a lot of things about my life, friend. Okay. The number one lousy, stupid, useless, trash spice. You have a guess what it is?
I don't.
The answer is the bay leaf. The bay leaf. First of all, it's a whole leaf. It's not ground or anything. You just get like it's like a leaf off a tree. And then what does it taste like? Oh, this tastes like bay leaf. Do you have any idea what that is?
Not a clue.
No, nobody knows. Nobody knows what a bay leaf tastes like. And here's the answer why. You have to pull it out of the food when you're making it. Like you dump the bay leaf in. And then you got to take it out like it's some sort of rescue mission. You got to, search and discover the bay leaf and pull it out. Like what kind of food do I put in food and then not leave it in? That's not food.
No.
It's stupid. Bay leaves are dumb. Nobody should ever use. Why have bay leaves? It's dumb. That's power rankings.
That was some of your finest work.
Spicy.
Are you wearing a headband right now?
If I was, would you judge me? No, it's a hat. I'm wearing it backwards like the cool kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're wearing it backwards because Ben was wearing his backwards. I see how it is.
Oh, what? Was he? Oh, yeah.
It's like when Michael Scott tries to let the hair down to look like Jim.
Connecting with the youths.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, things I saw on the side of the road while running. So I saw this today, actually. I was running kind of country roads, not necessarily neighborhood, but not like the middle of nowhere. And I see, the like guy peeing on stickers.
Sure. Like the Kelvin, sure. Kelvin and Hobbs. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I know what you mean.
He's peeing on the NFL logo. It's a sticker on the back of a vehicle, which obviously is vintage. You don't see necessarily that, that archetype of a sticker anymore, but like, what is the, what is
was
the
that
scenario?
A Kaepernick? Was that Kaepernick energy or?
Based on where I live, I'm gonna go with no.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, I was thinking maybe he's very anti-concussions. But it was on a big old truck that screams like, "I believe concussions ain't real," that kind of deal.
I think it's got to be the Kaepernick business and like players kneeling.
Oh, the Remember other that? Direction.
Yeah, the other all direction. Right, like right, he's yeah, ornery yeah. about yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very likely could be. All right, I'm gonna cut all this because suddenly it actually makes sense. And by that,
no,
I mean,
you're
of
stuck
course,
with it
I'm
now.
Leave it in. Yeah. All right. So let's move on. As all of our loyal listeners know, and by that I mean the people who have the podcast app in front of them, they'll know this is the 100th episode of the Podcastianos. We've made it to 100. Be remiss if we didn't discuss some of our favorite moments from the first 100. I just have a list. I didn't necessarily organize this into anything. Maybe we can just go back and forth with good times.
We've done this 100 times, 100 times. We've spent over 100 hours of our life making this nonsense.
Seems very hard to believe.
That's remarkable. We should be sainted, canonized. What's a memory you have?
I guess let's go back to the early days. A lot of our early shows involved me defending Mike Pelfrey. That is not something I look back on with pride.
Yeah. One memory that sticks out to me is we were talking about Oswaldo Arcia and I said, "Oh, his name always feels like it's missing a G." And you're like, "Goswaldo?" And I was like, and I cracked up. I'm like, "No, Garcia." Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was a thing for a while.
It was. And I actually had that on my list. And it's funny. We're so far removed from that Oswaldo Arcia actually feels like a blast from the past name at this point.
Yeah, really.
I'd still take him. I still think that dude could hit 40 homers. Not for us, but for a good
Right.
Let's see. The crossover episode where I had Rob on and you went on Hook Slide Show, that was fun. I got rid of you for a week.
I think that's when I did Pop-Tart Power Rankings, I'm pretty sure. I remember doing that, and that got some love. They were every time they – because every year or so, like, they'll start trending on Twitter for no reason, and people, like, get passionate about Pop-Tart flavors.
They just did in the last week.
I know.
Making sure you were on that.
I'm on it. Like,
I think Verlander was the one that started that. Didn't he post the, like, Twitter poll, which is your favorite, and he only gave, like, two options?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Anyway, do you have any other memories?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the guests that we have are very memorable shows to me. You know, having Guido, and we have had Chris and Tom Gage, and who else am I missing? Oh, we've had Evan Woodbury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emily's been on a few times.
Emily, yeah.
One time you weren't there, I had Keenan and Adam, which that was a very enjoyable show. I like those two.
When you get rid of me, it becomes a lot more enjoyable. I could see that for sure. I don't know. Maybe those just stick out to me because they're fun.
Yeah, definitely. The minivan rankings, when you finally relented.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It was like a whole year we ran the shtick about you could pick one, and then I never did minivan rankings. That was fun.
We had such good material.
Yeah.
Things have gotten much better, too.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to bring back some gag about never doing something or something. But that was fun for a while. We built up a lot of hype for the minivan rankings.
And then in the end, it was just listing of minivans.
Yeah, it was just straightforward. I had nothing. Oh, heavens.
That's pretty much all the good memories I have.
Yeah, I remember trucking my gear down back before cell phones were as capable, and we did an episode from – I was staying in Lakeland, and then I brought my laptop and the microphone and everything with me, and we recorded an episode from Lakeland. That was fun. I don't know. It's been a lot of good banter. I mean, a lot of good fan interaction. You know, there's been some real faithful – followers, the Troyas, the Skronics of the world, you know, and having some good comments. I mean, you know, we joke about Spotify money, but we haven't made a cent doing this. It's just for, unless you have, maybe you're hoarding it all.
We'll see. You can talk to my accountant.
Yeah, really. But it's just been for the positive interaction and banter and I don't want to speak for you, letting some of the creative stuff we think about the Tigers out. And, it's been a ton of fun.
Yeah, definitely. I don't necessarily have any designs on becoming rich and or famous from a regional podcast. But yeah, it's been, I don't know. We joke a lot about Tigers Twitter, but there's a lot of good people out there. And obviously people who aren't on Twitter too, but, it's been very enjoyable to virtually get to know many of you. And honestly, not to be all sappy, but more or less virtually get to know you over these last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
You're like an old grandpa to me, and I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Well, you're like a clean shaven little toddler looking person, Paul.
Oh boy.
No, it's been good. We've had good banter and good chats outside of the podcast too. And it's been a lot of fun. But, and if you've been a listener for a long time, if you've never interacted with us, send us a tweet, send us an email. You know, after 100 episodes, you owe us a little bit of interaction. So we'd love to hear from you. Yeah. Or even if you're a regular listener, tell us how you feel. We've reached the century mark. It's terrific.
So going forward, as you all know, there is not baseball, so it's kind of just going to be hit or miss. We'll maybe try and have some more guests. But I mean, I don't necessarily see us at any point sitting down for an hour and breaking down, Tigers faux roster moves.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, baseball is more fun to talk about than the machinations of, you know, some trade or some, you know, labor deal or whatever, and speculating about the potency of the virus and stuff. We can do some of that, but without baseball, it feels a little odd.
Yeah, doesn't really feel like something that we would do. So anyway, if there's somebody that you want to hear us talk to on the show, send ideas, definitely open to that, and I'll try and slide into some DMs and see what happens.
We could make an episode of just, since we didn't get to Twitter questions tonight, maybe we could put it out there and have an all Twitter question episode.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That could be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Let's do that. All right. I'll put you in charge of that. Obviously.
Okay, I'll get right on that. Anyway, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody who's listening, and it's been a great 100 episodes.
Yep. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is... No, he's not. Still haven't changed the second part of my notes. He is at... What is it?
Eric Wayne's Brain.
There we go. At Podcastianos on the Instagram. I'm Jordino4. And once again, we'd love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, whatever other show platform you're listening to the show on. Eric, anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the night?
Big thank you to Ben Verlander for coming on and sharing with us. He was tremendous. And best wishes to everybody out there who's experiencing a virus world.
Yeah. Stay safe. Well. Stay inside. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Just keep washing them. And we will talk to you guys in the future. Oh, and eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up. There we go.
Goodbye.
It wouldn't have been a 100th episode without screwing up some of the main components of the show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.